Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Another day, another dollar. You are tuned into WKAR's current sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. As you just heard, I am your host, Al Martin, here on this beautiful Tuesday, August 15th, 2017. We are so honored you allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again for another 60 minutes of current sports. On today's show, we've got a loaded one as we will talk about another player who was injured in the Detroit Lions preseason win over the Indianapolis Colts on the road over the weekend. We'll bring that news to you, and we will try to spell out what this means for the Lions moving forward, specifically for that Honolulu Blue defense. Also, as we passed along to you all during our current sports quick hit headliners yesterday, there are seven suspensions that the Florida college football team will be having to deal with, especially when it comes to the start of the season as they open up the year at AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys, against Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan Wolverines. And due to the news of those suspensions, U of M's favorite in Vegas has increased 2 points. We'll discuss that. Also, we will bring you coverage from Michigan State Volleyball Media Day. You'll hear from head coach Kathy George, as well as stout incoming freshman, actually last year's Michigan Miss Volleyball, Meredith Norris. And breaking news concerning Tiger Woods, who was arrested not too long ago. We were awaiting the toxicology report, seeing as though when he was stopped during that traffic stop and, of course, issued a driving under the influence, it was not due to alcohol. And the details of what exactly was in the system of Tiger Woods have now come out. We'll bring that news to you. And we, of course, yes, we'll talk about the Detroit Tigers, Michael Fulmer. A bad outing on the hill for him. That and more. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know how to do that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the airwaves. And even tweet us at WKAR underscore sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. The Florida Gators open their 2017 season against Michigan, their roster will be, of course, a little shorthanded. As we reported yesterday, according to Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports, the team has suspended seven players prior to that season opener. The players, receiver Antonio Callaway, who is the biggest name out of the seven, defensive lineman Keavonis Davis, offensive tackle Kadeem Telfort, defensive end Jordan Smith, defensive tackle Richard Desir Jones, linebacker Ventrell Miller, and linebacker James Houston all have been suspended due to violation of team rules. Now, we'll bring the details of those violations later on this hour, but Mark Long of the Associated Press and Brett McMurphy reported that the suspension are due to a misuse of school funds. And this suspension is having an effect when it comes to betting numbers out in Las Vegas. Prior to the suspensions, Michigan was actually a 2.5-point favorite to win the game. Since the suspensions have come out, that number has been moved to 4.5. And after the events that took place this past weekend out in Charlottesville, Virginia, Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh took to Twitter to denounce the violence. In a tweet shortly after 10 p.m. last night, Harbs wrote, quote, "Anyone who demonstrates through violence, terror, or intimidation are embarrassments to our country and are truly disrespectful to our flag," end quote. Harbaugh has largely stayed silent on social issues since arriving at Michigan back in 2015, but there are a few instances where he has spoken up. In February, he took up defending the Legal Services Corporation and its mission to provide affordable legal help for the poor. Then last August, after criticizing it, Harbaugh came to the defense of former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick and his decision not to stand for the Star Spangled Banner before games. More on that story later on this hour as well. The smooth tones brewed from Mike Tirico's vocal cords will be heading to South Bend this fall. Get this, it was announced on Monday that Tirico, who actually still lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan, he was named the new voice of Notre Dame football on NBC. Tirico called three Irish football games last season, well, succeeded by Dan Hicks, and will work alongside former Chicago Bears quarterback Heisman Trophy winner Doug Flutie. Now, Catherine Tappan will continue to act as sideline reporter, but congratulations to Mike Tirico, who, of course, was with ESPN. He will also continue to do Thursday night football games as well. All right, another day, another injury for the Detroit Lions. At least that's the way this offseason is seemingly going. Due to just one preseason game, folks, the latest injury that's plagued the team is linebacker and defensive end Brandon Copeland, who tore a pectoral muscle in Sunday's preseason win over the Indianapolis Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. He will need surgery and is likely out for the season. Copeland sustained the injury in the second half of the game. He then went to the locker room and did not return. More on that story as well. Michael Fulmer returned from a short DL stint to pitch last night as the Detroit Tigers took on the Texas Rangers on the road. And Fulmer pitched about how you'd expect from a guy who missed a significant amount of time. Through five innings pitched, Fulmer allowed five runs on seven hits, striking out two and walking three. The Rangers scored runs in each of the first four innings and dealt the Tigers a 6-2 loss, their second in as many games. The NBA released its upcoming regular season schedule last night, and the Detroit Pistons will christen Little Caesars Arena with the same team they opened the Palace of Auburn Hills with, that being the Charlotte Hornets. The Pistons will open the regular season in their new home on October 18th versus the Hornets at 7 p.m. The Pistons will also host a few marquee matchups at the Pizza Palace this season. The world champion Golden State Warriors come to the D on December 8th, an ESPN game that will begin at 7 p.m. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers' first visit to LCA will take place on November 20th. Other national television games that you want to mark on your calendar do include home games against the Washington Wizards on January 19th, at home against the Cavs on January 30th, and home games against the Toronto Raptors on March 17th, all very stout competitors in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Golf superstar Tiger Woods had painkillers, sleep drugs, and an ingredient active in marijuana in his body when Florida police arrested him back in May. That's what a newly released toxicology report shows. Now, the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office did not say whether Tiger had prescriptions for all of the medications or medicinal marijuana, which is legal in the state of Florida. Earlier this month, Tiger agreed to enter a diversion program that would see his driving under the influence charge dropped later on this year. Now, prosecutors say the four-time Masters champion will also plead guilty to a lesser charge of reckless driving when he returns to court in October. And very troubling news here. Got word of this news soon after we got off the air yesterday. WWE legend Ric Flair was reportedly hospitalized on Saturday morning with a heart-related issue, according to Pro Wrestling Sheet. Now, conflicting reports here because other individuals close to the situation are saying it is not a heart-related issue. So not exactly sure what is wrong with Flair, but his condition reportedly worsened after his admittance to the hospital, and he was placed in a medically induced coma ahead of his surgery. Now, a rep for the iconic wrestler told TMZ Sports that he was out of the operating room and resting yesterday afternoon with his family by his side, though the outcome of the procedure remains unclear. Flair is reportedly out of surgery, and we will keep you updated on how he is doing throughout the rest of the week. Prayers up to Ric Flair. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Weigh in. You know how to do that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. Here we go.
Here's the throw to the end zone. What a catch. Unbelievable grab by Kenny Golladay. He was going to the ground when he caught the football. That was just a tremendous pick, or actually a reception by Golladay.
Yeah, this is again, Golladay has beaten Quincy at the end of the down. Quincy's in really good shape, but on both cases, he doesn't get turned around.
Walker to get rid of the football. And the throw to the end zone, Golladay. And he makes the catch for the touchdown. And Kenny Golladay has already got two scores in this football game. Here's Kyle with a throw, and he finds his man down on the near sideline, and a couple of extra efforts on the part of the wide receiver, Dontez Ford, and he is able to get into the end zone.
And that is how we start this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Before moving forward, I want to extend a big thank you to all of our listeners out there who expressed congratulations to the Current Sports Show for reaching the 1,000th milestone. Very fun show as Isaac Constance, our regular engineer, joined us all the way from his home state of Louisiana, out in New Orleans. We had many of you call in, many of you share tributes, many of you comment online. I can't tell you how much we appreciated that, because as I always say, we are nothing without our listeners, and we appreciate all the love that we received yesterday. If you happen to miss that show again, just simply go to WKAR.org or simply go to our Facebook page where you can catch each and every live stream of WKAR's Current Sports, Facebook.com/Current Sports. But back to business here on the 1001 episode of WKAR's Current Sports. A lot to get to. And I want to start by first pushing some news to you all. Miami Dolphins corner and former Michigan State football great Tony Lippitt. Breaking news coming out of the wheelhouse of the Miami Dolphins concerning Tony. Tony has tore his Achilles tendon and will have to undergo season-ending surgery. That was announced by head coach Adam Gase. He confirmed that today. The injury occurred during practice yesterday for the Dolphins. Lippitt started 13 games for Miami last season, recorded 67 tackles and a team-high 4 INTs. Before the injury, Tony Lippitt actually was projected to be a backup this year behind starters Byron Maxwell and Xavier Howard. However, Tony, I believe, could have worked himself into a possible starting role because he's been trending upward since last season. Had a great year last year, I thought. He has consistently gotten better each and every season. But now you look at this situation, a backup corner in the NFL who has torn his Achilles. That's tough. That is really tough. He actually led the team with 4 interceptions, as I mentioned last season. Gosh, goodness, that's got to be frustrating. So we'll see how Tony Lippitt recovers. But this is what I always say. I mean, I hate preseason football. Don't get me wrong. I love the NFL. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. There's a reason why the NFL is the most popular professional sporting realm that we have here in the United States of America. However, again, I've been on this soapbox for quite some time, I know. Before preseason games, it's like, come on, because injuries happen. And as you heard during today's quick hit headliners, chalk up yet another injury for the Detroit Lions defense. Another injury that is going to do no favors for the Honolulu Blue this upcoming season. Brandon Copeland is now hurt. One preseason game is what we're talking about. We're not talking about preseason game number 3 or 4 here. This is just preseason game number 1. And already the Detroit Lions are without 2 defensive players who are expected to make a pretty solid impact this upcoming year. You know, we told you about defensive end Kerry Hyder, who led the team in sacks last season. How Hyder, same injury as Tony Lippitt, he tore his Achilles tendon. He's now kaput for the year, and now you have an injury to linebacker slash defensive end Brandon Copeland, who suffered a torn pectoral muscle, a torn pec in Sunday's exhibition out in Indianapolis, Indiana, in that win over the Colts. He will miss the remainder of the season. Dual guy here. Talented player, linebacker, and you can put him on as defensive end. Really was competing for that starting strong side linebacker position, and now he's done. So when it comes to Brandon's situation now, we elaborated on the situation of Kerry Hyder. But for Brandon, the Lions would need to carry him on their roster through the first cuts of the season next month in order for him to return for the squad. So we'll see how that situation pans out. A talented player. Again, who looked like he was going to try and work his way into a starting linebacker position. But, you know, you look at how this defense, which was ranked in the middle of the pack in the NFL last year, 15th last season, you look at how this defense is coming together, or I should say falling apart, before the season even begins. Starting right end, Iggy Ziggy Ansah. He currently is on the physically unable to perform list with a leg injury. Now, he's expected back by the start of the season. We'll see if he can stay healthy throughout the entire year for the Lions. because Iggy Ziggy Ansah has had problems with his health. Cornelius Washington, another name you can bring up. He is expected to replace Kerry Hyder due to his season-ending Achilles injury at left end. He has battled an ankle injury. He is not 100%. Battled an ankle injury much of the summer. And then you look at backup Armonte Bryant, who is suspended for the first 4 games of the season due to violating the league's policy on substances of abuse. Ziggy Ansah, not healthy. Cornelius Washington, an ankle injury. Armonte Bryant violated the league's policy on drug use. Defensive players who are expected, to have a big year for the Lions upcoming year. The Lions right now, especially that defense, you know, you can't give up big play after big play. Now, on the contrary, I think that the Lions' offense last year did not do any favors for the defense because, again, if you don't have a good run game, you're basically relying on the arm of Matthew Stafford to make magic happen each and every Sunday, which, if you remember, Matthew Stafford did at one point. I mean, do we have to go through and recount how Matthew Stafford was able to lead the Lions to comeback wins? It seemed like, what, 3 or 4 Sundays in a row at one point? But eventually, you know, the cream rises to the top, and other teams realized that the offense wasn't there, and they easily found out how to slow that Detroit Lions offense down, and then you're putting a lot of pressure on the defense to go out there and make big plays. But you look at all those names that are injured, and again, we're talking about preseason game number 1. Does not stack up well for the Detroit Lions. And this is a team that if you read numerous preseason projections, many are predicting that the Lions are not going to have a stout season this upcoming year. And many, including myself. I don't know. I think this team, there's a big question mark right now when it comes to the Detroit Lions because I'm not confident in the run game. I do believe that that offense does have a few playmakers. And again, you just heard in our intro there, I mean, Kenny Golladay. How impressive was Kenny Golladay? Now, granted, just preseason. Take it with a big truckload of salt. However, Kenny Golladay from Illinois, round 3, 96th overall pick in this year's NFL draft, looked pretty good, especially that first catch. That first catch where he had to kind of, you know, go to the ground in the end zone near the left sideline, sick. He's got some talent. This 23-year-old can ball, and I do think that he is going to be a red zone weapon for Stafford come this upcoming year. But this Detroit Lions team needs more than a rookie wide receiver on that offense to really make some headway. Run game has to be there. That's the big target on the back when it comes to the offense, if you ask me. But then you look at the defense. That was the middle of the pack last year, 15th, as I mentioned, 15th in the league last season. And now you have all of these injuries in preseason game number 1, and this is why I hate preseason games. Absolutely irks me. And you know what? The fan base of the National Football League does not like preseason games either, for multiple reasons, more so when it comes to those out there who spend their hard-earned money to purchase season tickets for their favorite team. Because due to how the NFL is set up currently, you know, you look at the 8 home games that you're buying as an NFL season ticket holder. Well, you got to hit, when it comes to the NFL, you got to hit the magic number of 10 if you want the full package. So that includes you paying for meaningless preseason games. 2 meaningless preseason games that mean absolutely nothing in the long run, where you're watching like the third string quarterback and third stringers, period, go out there and try and make the 53-man roster. It absolutely makes no sense to me. This has been a big bugaboo for many NFL fans for quite some time now. You know, the NFL sells its season tickets as a 10-game strip. 8 regular season plus 2 preseason games. So NFL teams charge the same price for a game in August as they do for a game in December. Absolutely ridiculous. And again, you're watching these preseason games. They're not competitive. They are a complete snooze fest. And oh yeah, by the way, you get that in combination with the full risk of injury. And now you have a team like the Detroit Lions that already has two big injuries, in my estimation. Makes no sense to me. Absolutely makes no sense. Needs to be changed, and I don't know where owner Roger Goodell is leaning right now when it comes to the elimination of preseason games. I've seen different reports where he says, okay, he'll take it in consideration when it comes to chopping down preseason games. He'll also take it in consideration when it comes to those out there buying season tickets and not having two preseason games be a part of the package. But it's not in effect just yet. Makes absolutely no sense to me. I mean, heck, if I'm Jim Caldwell, I'm not playing my starters not one lick. Why? Why? Especially in the game of football, where anything could happen on any given play. I am not putting my first stringers out there at all. It'll be idiotic. Curious, I know, as we get closer to the start of the NFL year, I'm curious to get your thoughts, of course, on the Detroit Lions. How do you think this team will perform this year? We will, of course, have a season preview of the Detroit Lions in the coming weeks, so you don't want to miss that, trust me. But, you know, now when looking at these two injuries, Brandon Copeland and Kerry Hyder, how do you evaluate how the defense stacks up this year for the Detroit Lions? Again, we encourage you all to weigh in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Want to invite the man behind the glass right now. Isaac Constance is out. He will be out until Thursday. Again, as I mentioned, he is out in Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana, where he's born and raised, on a bit of a vacay before classes rev up. But Jacob Herbert is holding it down for us. Jacob, how you doing, my man?
I am doing great.
Good to hear you, dude. I know you're big. Are you a big NFL guy?
Decent. Yeah, I'm decently into it. Like, yes, I am. Not as big as I am into hockey. You obviously know that.
Of course, right.
Not as little as I am into the NBA. Not to say that I'm not into the NBA, but yeah.
But you watch the Detroit Lions,
I know. Of course.
When we're hearing about this news that the Detroit Lions are already without Kerry Hyder and Brandon Copeland, two players done for the year, I mean, what's your perception of this team right now when it comes to the defense and just your perception of preseason games in the NFL?
Well, to start with the preseason games, I think I don't know that 4 games is necessary. I think you could cut that down to 2, and that'd be a lot better. Specifically for a reason like this, I mean, fans have been waiting all offseason for some football, and while it is exciting to watch, you know, preseason games, everyone knows, obviously, that the regular season is what matters. I want to see the starters play. I don't want to see Matthew Stafford play one series and then sit on the bench the rest of the game. So, and another point to make with these preseason games is exactly what you've spent the last half an hour talking about, or 15 minutes, whatever the case may be. These injuries are really hurting a team like Detroit, who really needed all hands on deck to begin the season. I mean, in my personal opinion, maybe I'm obviously just being a little biased towards my hometown team, but I was excited to see what guys like Jared Davis do and Tease Tabor, and obviously they're still very healthy. But these injuries really concern me, and I think, I mean, I was in the, you know, 9-7, 10-6 kind of range for the Lions this season, and
that's
with
pretty,
all these,
yeah, that's where I fall. I'm like 8 or 9 wins for the Lions this year.
Yeah, I mean, their schedule is just very, very tough this year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, these injuries are really concerning, especially for Kerry Hyder. I mean, one of the things that was, in my opinion, really missing from the Lions defense is that guy to line up on the other end of Ziggy Ansah. That's why he only had two sacks last year, Ziggy Ansah. He was dealing with an injury, but at the same time, he was being double-teamed time in and time again because the Lions had no one else on that defensive line to rush the passer. And, you know, Kerry Hyder was you know, showing the talent and looking like he was going to be able to be this guy, and now he's gone for the whole season. So very, very concerning for Lions fans.
Very true. Again, if I'm Jim Caldwell, I'm just saying, you know what? No, I'm not even going to take the risk. I'm throwing in the backup guys, the guys who are really scrapping to try and make the roster in these upcoming three preseason games that are left. But, you know, as a fan, though, if you look at this, Jacob, I mean, just to kick around a scenario here that I jotted down this morning. I mean, if you have two season tickets in the lower bowl on the sideline, I mean, you're paying about $350 per ticket. And if you tack on those two preseason games that are a part of the 10-game package, home package, I mean, that's roughly $1,400 for a pair of August games that you probably don't even have any plans on attending. You know, and not to mention the $150 that you pay in prepaid parking that those games will cost as well. And, you know, if you have four tickets, that's $2,800 in admissions for the two games plus parking. That is a complete ripoff. You know, it wasn't always the case, because if you look at how the NFL has evolved over the years, I mean, back in the 1960s, the preseason games were not attached to most NFL season ticket packages. But with the explosion of the sport's popularity, really starting in the 1970s, teams really began tacking on the three home preseason games onto the seven-game regular season ticket package. So it's all about moolah at the end of the day. But again, if you're Roger Goodell and you're the NFL, you're already making a lot of money, a ton of money, hand over foot. And you look at the average cost of a preseason game for a fan that does not have season tickets. I mean, you could go see the Lions at Ford Field for a preseason game for like $30. Really, really cheap. However, for those that have the season tickets bundle, it's going to be significantly more, which blows my mind. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR. I would love to hear from anyone out there who actually has season tickets or who has been a season ticket holder for the Detroit Lions or any NFL team for that matter. Call in 517-355-WKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about Jim Harbaugh sounding off on the Charlottesville, Virginia protest that occurred over the weekend. Big ups to Jim Harbaugh or anybody for that matter, voicing their thoughts on how ridiculous our country can be sometimes. We'll dive into that, and we'll also talk about the Florida suspensions when it comes to that Florida Gators and Michigan Wolverines college football game. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Odell Beckham Jr. has gone viral yet again. I mean, this dude is one of the most talented wide receivers I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if you guys saw what the New York Giants official Twitter account posted yesterday, but oh my goodness. They actually posted this yesterday morning. Odell Beckham Jr. made one of the most, and again, it's during practice, but still, when you watch this catch that he had, I'm not sure who the corner was that was defending him on the route, but I mean, you can watch Odell go to the end zone, and it's a ball that is thrown, you know, right over the head of the corner, and Odell just reaches up with his right hand, with his right glove, and just snags it with one hand, and somehow, some way, is able to come down with it. It has gone viral. As of right now, it has over 50,000 retweets, over 74,000 likes, and about 1,700 comments. It is absolutely sick. I'm really excited to see what Odell Beckham Jr. does this upcoming year, especially after he has been very boisterous in noting that he wants to be the highest paid NFL player in the game as a wide receiver. That's a goal that I don't think any wide receiver will ever claim because, let's be real here, the position in football is quarterback. However, Odell Beckham Jr. is very, very good. Also, ESPN's now annual megacast broadcast for college football's title game will be featuring, get this, the Ohio State at Indiana matchup that will take place on August 31st at 8 p.m. So they will have multiple angles. Along with the main broadcast that will be airing on ESPN, there will be six alternative presentations. A coach's film room on ESPN News featuring former coaches Mac Brown, Gene Sigelik, host Greg McElroy, and Tom Luganville, and also ESPN, the ESPN debut of former LSU coach Les Miles. Les Miles will be in the room dissecting that game as well. There will also be a Homer's broadcast on ESPNU. Dan Dockage will be the analyst for Indiana with play-by-play broadcaster Joe Tessitore. And the debut of an all-22 broadcast where viewers can see the entire field from above the end zone on ESPN3, a SkyCam perspective on ESPN3, a data center presentation on ESPN3, which will feature on-screen graphic content ranging from analytics, real-time drive charts, win probability updates, and curated social media reaction. ESPN will also employ Command Center on ESPN Goal Line, which is like a split screen with simultaneous multiple camera views. Jacob, is this too much, dude? Have we gone too far? You know, it's much like, again, they do this every year for the college football title game, and it's always fun to watch. But I really hope this does not become a regular thing for multiple broadcasts of college football. This is a little too much in my estimation.
I think maybe a one-time thing, one game a season is good. But
college football overload. Oh my goodness!
No, but I also kind of like it. I think I might watch it just, especially with the coaches sitting around watching the game, talking strategy or whatever.
Yeah,
it makes it. I mean, I may be alone on this, or maybe in the minority, but I like watching stuff like that. Yeah, I can watch football all day long. It's entertaining, but when you're actually sitting there with guys who have, you know, dedicated their lives to the game, talking strategy, whatever, that's kind of interesting to me.
Hey, I tell you what, though, in its defense, it has been a hit when it comes to the national title game, but when we talk about, you know, regular season games,
yeah,
that may be too much for me, but hey, college football right now, it's amazing to see how college football has evolved over the years. It has really become a huge growing sport here in America. You know, much like the NBA has become over the years. I mean, college football is growing when it comes to viewership year after year after year. So I'm curious to see how this does. Ohio State, Indiana, August 31st. Again, ESPN will have a megacast that will, in many ways, be similar to the title game. So definitely look forward to seeing how, I should say, what the reception is to that news. All right, you know what? Later on, I want to play our interview with Kathy George, Michigan State head volleyball coach from Media Day. We still have not gotten to that. After that, I'm going to weigh in on Jim Harbaugh sounding off via social media, via his Twitter account, on what has taken place over the weekend out in Charlottesville, Virginia. It has dominated news headlines everywhere. Very troubling stuff, what we watched happen out in Charlottesville. I'll get to that in just a second. But prior to that, we've been meaning to get to this coverage since Volleyball Media Day happened last week. But, you know, this is an interesting year for Kathy George and her troops because, you know, they had a great season last year. Kathy George, she needs just three wins, actually, to hit the 600-win club, 13 to become the program's all-time winningest coach in program history. Last year, they actually got the opportunity to host rounds 1 and 2 of the NCAA volleyball tournament. They got out of the first round, ended up falling in the second round for the sixth straight time. Yeah. And that has to be annoying. I mean, you get there six straight times, and you get out of the first round, and then you fall in the second round. Very troubling there. However, what Kathy George has been able to build with this team over the years, it's quite remarkable. When it comes to the team makeup, we're talking about 7 seniors, 6 freshmen, 2 sophomores, 2 juniors. Actually, also, when it comes to starters, this team will return 4 starters, 12 players total. High expectations, a great recruiting class. Here is how my conversation went with Kathy George as we gave a bit of a preview for this upcoming year and also discussed the very cool initiative this year at Media Day for the squad, in which they gave us an X's and O's tutorial session, which was certainly different. Here we go.
Absolutely. We wanted to do this about a year ago. One of our courtside seat people had asked us, hey, Kathy, can you guys do something to kind of explain to us what's going on? Because sometimes we just don't know. The official's making a call. We don't understand. What is it you can do to help us learn? So what we did is we put together an event over at the football end zone, and we said, okay, let's speak about this. So we had an official come in, did a 30-minute presentation on some of the calls and some of the things that happened, and then we had Kristen Kelsey talk about offense. So we broke up down some video, we showed some of the situations, and then we talked about defense. Jesse did that part, mm-hmm. and then I kind of was in, obviously I don't keep myself out too much, and I was in and all around that.
Yeah.
And so it really helped our fans understand the game a little bit more and what we were trying to get at. Since then, we've used it at our team camp for some of the coaches, and now you, because we wanted to make sure that we understood what are the coaches talking about after in the interview.
Right.
What does that mean? What we're saying makes all the sense in the world to us, but it may not make as much sense if you don't understand the lead-ups. So we wanted to really put the foundational phase in there and teach people, you know, what are the intricacies of the game.
There's so many layers to it. I have to ask, Kathy, I mean, how many adjustments do you make throughout an entire match? I mean, because I feel like every possession, you're yelling out something. I mean, from what you just explained here, it's a constant chess match.
You'll see some signals coming from the bench.
Okay.
It's just hand signals, different types of things that you'll see that we're making, or you'll see a coach kind of going up and saying something, you know, trying to get their attention to get a different blocking scheme, or what are we doing to make adjustments on our side of the net.
Right.
We use the information we're gathering as the game goes on, as everybody does in their sport, and they're trying to gain that advantage to kind of anticipate what they may be doing and what can we do to stop it, or if we're getting beaten up in a certain area, what adjustment can we make to make sure that we're not allowing that to continue to happen.
Wow.
So that adjustment continues throughout, and we're being able to adjust our defense and offense just like, you know, just like anybody would if they're adjusting their defense or their offense to find the open shot or, you know, whatever.
Very cool stuff, and we really appreciate it as media members.
Yeah,
I'm probably going to look for these things when the season starts.
Right.
You all, for another year, are ranked in the top 25. I know it's preseason, and rankings really don't mean anything at this point, but what does it say that they're ranking you that high about what you've built here at Michigan State, Kathy?
I think that the first poll, it really doesn't matter, because a lot of people put it where you finished last year.
Okay.
And so you don't see a lot of movement from what they saw. We lost in the second round, so that's why, you know, that's why we're sitting where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, we look to be better than that, and we expect that we're going to work really hard to show that we're capable of more. Our goals are high, but, you know, it's really not. It's how do we put ourselves in position to achieve greater things? And it's really not to us about the poll. It never is. It's about what are we doing to get better, and people will start to respect that, and we'll see that. But we have a lot of talent. Our freshman class is coming in with great experience that will provide great depth for us. And then our seniors, we're senior laden. We have a lot of them. They're coming back. They've got they're a little bit unhappy with where they finished last year, but they're also, you know, they're also sitting with that urgency of I'm a senior. And their perspective on everything that happens during a season, whether it's those moments where you're getting really tired and you still have to push through,
yeah.
or it's just your perspective about different blah, 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 it doesn't matter. It's like, what are we doing now to do what we want to do, and keep that in perspective. So the process, I mean, every day we're touching a ball, like every practice we're doing, what are we doing to get better today? They're really understanding that. They heard that as freshmen. They heard that as sophomores, but it doesn't mean the same.
I talked to Garv. She's calling it with the second round curse, right?
Yeah,
she
right,
wants
right,
to
right,
get
right.
out, you know, because we saw what happened last year.
Yeah.
You guys get out of the first round, losing the second round.
Mm-hmm.
But you all have gotten out of the first round for 6 consecutive years, 19th
right, right,
overall
right.
tourney appearance.
Right.
the expectations are much higher now, right, Kathy?
Yeah, they absolutely are. And you know, we do have a lot of talent, and it's respected talent, there's no doubt. So we think that coming into this, we just have to execute a little bit better. We have to be a little sharper, a little cleaner when we play, and we are playing against some of the top teams in the nation. So it's funny when we say we have a seventh best recruiting class. Well, there's a couple Big Ten teams that have a better recruiting class than we do. Not just one, a couple. And that's how it is every single year. So you're looking at teams that have players that have been the best coming out of high school and in college. We have more All-Americans returning than any other conference. So it's you're always going to battle. So are you ready for that? Our seniors have watched that a lot. They understand that. They understand what they're in, but they also know what they have to do about it. Mm-hmm. When you're young, you don't always know what you have to do about it. So it's just you gain knowledge over the years. It's really great to have people when you're explaining something, they really get what you're saying and they understand the ramifications of that if you don't do what you need to do.
Definitely.
So there's just growth in that. But I think our seniors are really doing a great job of helping this young class come in and understand that sooner rather than later.
You mentioned, Kathy, the influx of the freshmen. How important was the midsummer trip to Italy
Huge. In
building chemistry for this squad?
Italy had a lot of value for so many different reasons. You know, obviously them being together and really getting to know each other off the court a little bit, that was great, so that you saw the freshmen kind of coming in here and people started to recognize their personalities when they're just having fun. You know, not what are they doing on the court, because they're all panicked when they're on the court at first. You know,
right.
So we don't know. They're a little quieter there. But can they break through that so they're more of themselves out there? And do they understand the game a little bit? And we play some great teams over there, so they started to pick that up. And so from a lot of different angles, that trip helped us, but also culturally. I mean, you know, if you haven't gotten over there to if you haven't traveled internationally, you're kind of like, they're all like, what am I doing? You know, and then they started to understand, hey, I can live here. This is different. I could go do this. I could go play pro over there. I could maybe go spread my wings and fly a little bit further away and feel comfortable and confident in doing that.
Your favorite part of the trip, what was it, Kathy? I know you went to George Clooney's house or something like that?
By his house.
By
and he was
house.
Up on the balcony, and that was a week before his babies were born. But
so not he was that, there?
Not, yeah, we saw him on a balcony.
Wow.
So, but we were in Lake Como. But that's also where 007, the last game, one where he shot the guy in the knees. So we saw that one, too. And that house was beautiful. But,
right.
I mean, we were just, I mean, I don't know. I just was really happy with all of it. I really was. I thought, you know, I just love watching them grow. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the best part of it, because I'm just watching in every experience different things happen for our team to grow. And whenever I see that, that makes me happy, because I'm kind of a tunnel vision coach that's like, you know, we're all about this. I'm always thinking about, you know, how can we be better? And clearly that trip helped us be better. So I'm very excited about it, and I'm thankful that we had the opportunity to do it.
I have to ask you about this, Kathy. I know that it may or may not mean much to you, but you're 3 wins away from 600. You knew this question was coming.
Today. Yep. No, somebody told me today.
Wow. 3 wins away from 600, 13 away from being the all-time leader in wins for the program. Does that mean anything to Kathy George?
No, not really. Because, honestly, I mean, it's not about me, and it's about what we're doing. It means I'm old. I mean, I know that. I mean, I know that that's what it means to me, is I've been doing this for a very long time. But, you know, you're... That's just everybody that, you know, it may bring you back to remembering all the people that you've been with, you know, from my first teams to, and that's like, wow, I've been doing this for a very long time. And you think about all those great moments when you were going through it. But it's not about the wins themselves. It's about the people within the wins. And that's what I love. I love, you know, hearing from my people from my first teams, and I still do. You know, you hear about them and what they're doing in their lives and how you keep in touch over the years. And so that's what that reflects to me, not that. Not anything about me personally.
You all finished sixth in the country when it comes to attendance last season. To have a fan base that supports the program to that kind of extent, what's that mean to you and this program?
It's awesome, because that was one of my focuses from the very get-go. You know, I know you're just supposed to coach, but the atmosphere, the environment, all of the whole program matters to me. And when we first came in, we were over on the other side of these bleachers with metal bleachers.
I remember.
And there really weren't very many fans here. And to see the growth over the years is very encouraging. And I explained that to our team. You know, they're not going to come. People aren't going to come and pay their money to see a team just not try, not work hard, not give forth effort, not be competitive. You know, we've got to get after this. We've got to grow this. And that's what you're doing. And every year that happens, look at the teams ahead of you and what they've helped this team grow to do, what this program has done. And so, you know, we work hard at that. They get out in the community. They talk to a lot of people. They're doing that, and more people are interested in MSU volleyball. And I think that's awesome. So I love that they're learning that about, you know, you put yourself out there, you grow as a person. That's going to help you everywhere in life. And also it helps this crowd. So we were excited because I think the season ticket holders have gone up by maybe 300 to 500
this year.
Right. And our courtside has, this is the third year in a row there's a waiting list. So we're excited to see that grow. Right. And I know it's you know, they're working hard. They're playing. They're, you know, they're giving their all. And, I mean, that's what we're wanting. I always want a team that, you know, you walk away saying, man, even if we lost, we played our hearts out, and you know, I think people can respect that. Our league is so tough that we're not going to always win every single game. Hopefully we will, but if we do that, like, very few teams do that in America, you know, in volleyball, yeah, especially in the Big Ten, most people do not come out unscathed. We can change it, maybe, I don't know, but the thing is like, you just want to know that you laid it all on the floor. And people want to see that, you know, and our team is approachable, and you know, fans enjoy that, and I know that that's because of our players and the type of players we have in our program.
If you build it, they will come, right?
I guess so. Field of dreams.
You built it.
Yeah, she certainly has. Much thanks to Kathy George and the Michigan State volleyball team for holding a very unique media day. And again, postscripts here that I want to note. Alyssa Garvalink and Rachel Manerick, both seniors. Those are the two captains for the squad, and you can actually catch the team this weekend on the 19th at Jennison Fieldhouse. That will be this coming Saturday at 4 p.m. for the green and white exhibition game. High expectations for this squad. Again, as you heard in that interview, Michigan State volleyball was ranked 6th in attendance in the entire country last year. So the MSU volleyball fandom is certainly real here in East Lansing. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will briefly chat about Jim Harbaugh sounding off on the unfortunate events that took place out in Charlottesville, Virginia. That and more. We'll be right back to wrap up this hour of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, we have about 5 minutes left in the show, but I want to use those 5 minutes to address, as I put before that brief break, brief final break here on the show, the unfortunate events that occurred out in Charlottesville, Virginia, concerning white supremacists protesting and voicing their hate and trying to push their agenda, their sick and violent agenda. And there were many individuals that came out and were not afraid in voicing their displeasure about those events, and many athletes and coaches alike. And one of those coaches happened to be the head coach of the University of Michigan college football program, Jim Harbaugh. As I mentioned in our quick hit headliners, Harbaugh last night wrote on his Twitter account, quote, "Anyone who demonstrates through violence, terror, or intimidation are embarrassments to our country and are truly disrespectful to our flag." And I commend anyone out there who is willing to stand up for what is right, who is willing to not bite their tongue and voice what is right and stand up for what is right And there were multiple athletes over the weekend that did that. Some of those also included Jeremy Lin of the NBA, Enes Kanter of the NBA as well, LeBron James, Harrison Barnes, Sam Decker, Chris Long. Many athletes were not afraid to address what is happening here in 2017. I feel like every month we are talking about a story that turns your stomach and makes you question whether or not this is 2017 or if we're back in the 1960s in relation to race relations here in America. Very sad what took place over the weekend, and you can't ignore it. And it's going to be a big hurdle, a major hurdle, to see if our country can enter a state of healing or if we will continually step backward. And the only way progress is going to be made is if individuals out there are going to exhibit some courage and not be afraid to stand up for what is right, specifically those who are in positions of power here in America, who are in positions of influence, deciding to be very boisterous and try to rally our communities to speak up for what is right. Because what I saw over the weekend, it really broke my heart. It really did. And that is, you know, those who have stepped up, specifically athletes, since this is a sports talk show, those who have stepped up and voiced their displeasure concerning those events and events in the past, I tip my cap to them. Because it does take a bit of courage to do that. So I just wanted to commend Jim Harbaugh on that tweet last night. I thought it was very well needed. And I'll elaborate more on that specific subject on tomorrow's Current Sports. But in the meantime, we are on a 23-hour break. We'll see you same time, same place tomorrow. As always, take care and be easy, people.